What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just release a new promo video for my upcoming music video, Miss Subordinate. You could go ahead and check that out on my website, katietrop.net, or on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/katietrop. And yeah, look out for the music video that's going to be dropping next week. All right, so let's get into baseball, and gotta say, this second half has not been a good start for either the Detroit Tigers or the Los Angeles Dodgers. These are the two teams that have been riding high all season long, and so far, the second half of the season has really, really not been kind to either of them. So let's get into the week of baseball and talk about what happened beginning on Monday with a matchup between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Boston Red Sox. The Phillies got the win 3-2. The Red Sox are another team, by the way, that has not had a good start to the second half because they actually, you know, headed into the All-Star break, they were on a 10-game winning streak. Well, right now, they are not playing very well at all. This was a game that they did lose, and they lost in a very, very odd way. They actually lost on a catcher's interference call, and that drove in a run for the Philadelphia Phillies. But Zach Wheeler, he keeps wheeling and dealing on the season. He pitched six innings and had 10 strikeouts on the night against the Boston Red Sox. So a very, very dominant outing for Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies. Then also on Monday, as I said, the Detroit Tigers not having a good week, and it did not start out good. Pittsburgh Pirates had a solid outing over the Tigers, 3-0. It definitely helped because Paul Skeens was pitching that night. He went for six innings, had six strikeouts, and zero earned runs on the night. So basically, he pitched himself a gem as well. But this was not a good showing from the Detroit Tigers at all. Then on Tuesday, the Seattle Mariners beat the Milwaukee Brewers 1-0, and it finally broke the Milwaukee Brewers winning streak at 11 games in a row. That was the final end there, and it actually, of course, happened because of Cal Raleigh. He hit his 39th home run on the season, and that was the only run scored on the night. And, of course, their starting pitcher, Gilbert, had a great night as well. He went six innings pitched with 10 strikeouts. Then on Wednesday, the Detroit Tigers actually ended up getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-1. And Horowitz, he actually had a grand slam on the Tigers. That's really what just put them away. But, I mean, the Pirates actually pretty much dominated this entire series. And that says a lot because, I mean, the Tigers, they are the best team in the league, whereas the Pirates are one of the worst teams in the league. Not the worst team, but they definitely are at the bottom of the barrel. That's for sure. But they got a nice sweep on the Tigers, and they're just not looking good right now in Detroit. And then also on Wednesday, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Minnesota Twins 4-3. But the player of the night was Shohei Ohtani, who actually hit his fifth straight home run in a game, which is a big deal. It's the first time he's ever done that in his career. I believe it's actually a Dodgers record, if I seem to recall. Regardless, five home runs in five consecutive games. Good for him. But also good for them is that Tyler Glasnow, you know, he came back from the injured list a couple weeks ago, and he came out and had a dominating performance. He went seven innings and had 12 strikeouts. This is exactly what the Dodgers need if they want to keep it moving for the second half of the season. Then on Thursday, we actually had our first kind of big trade because the trade deadline is July 31st in baseball. So you're gonna hear some trades trickling through. And it does kind of feel like the Diamondbacks are going to be one of those teams that's selling off a lot of their good players. And one of them actually was Josh Naylor, who just signed with them in the offseason. They actually ended up trading him to the Seattle Mariners, which is a good thing for the Mariners because the Mariners are one of those teams that's kind of hovering. You know, right now the Houston Astros are actually pretty much dominating their division, but the Mariners are still right there, and they could still get a wild card spot as well. And, I mean, they could absolutely use Naylor, not only his bat, but he's great in the field as well. So this is a good addition for the Seattle Mariners. But also, don't be shocked if the Diamondbacks trade a few more of their players as well, because they're definitely a team that's looking to trade at this point in the season. And then the last bit of baseball news is we had a game last night. Like I said, the Detroit Tigers are just on a bad slump right now. And they lost to the Toronto Blue Jays, who are in the exact opposite direction right now. They won 11-4. So right now, since the All-Star break, Detroit is 1-10. Yes, I said that. 1-10 since the All-Star break. So just not looking good for them. But for the Toronto Blue Jays, they had zero issues getting on base last night. As a matter of fact, Clement, he had a great night. Went 2-for-4, had a home run and 4 RBI. And the Toronto Blue Jays just keep on cruising through the second half of the season. All right, so moving on to the list this week, we're going to do, you know, I've been doing my MLB GOATs list. So this week we are going to do the top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s. You are going to hear a couple of guys who were on last week's list, the 1970s list, because that's how excellent they were, that they actually dominated through 2 decades of baseball. So let's get right into it. At number 10 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Fernando Valenzuela. He was a starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers from 1980 to 1990, and then also came back in 1997. But man, he hit the league on fire. I mean, this dude dominated from day one. Now, he really dominated for a small period of time, about like kind of like a 5 to 7 year window, which is not, that doesn't mean anything that you're bad, because obviously he made the top 10. But it's just, he was just very dominant for that time period, especially with the Dodgers. But his career numbers, 173 wins, 153 losses, a 3.54 ERA, and 2,074 strikeouts. He won a championship in 1981 with the Dodgers. He won Rookie of the Year in 1981, and he also won the Cy Young Award in 1981. So as you can tell, 1981 was a great year for Fernando Valenzuela. Like I said, he hit the league and just came right in, took over. Not only did he win Rookie of the Year, but he won the Cy Young same fucking year. And then they won a championship as well. He also won Gold Glove in 1986. So that just goes to show you, he wasn't just a great pitcher, but he was also great on the defensive side of the ball as well. 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner. Yes, a pitcher who is a 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner. That's a big deal. And then he also threw a no-hitter on June 29th of 1990. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Eddie Murray. He played first base with the Baltimore Orioles from 1977 to 1988, then with the Los Angeles Dodgers from 1989 to 1991, then the New York Mets from 92 to 93, and then the Cleveland Indians from 94 to 96. His career numbers, batted a .287 with 3,255 hits, 504 home runs, and 1,917 RBI. He won a championship in 1983. He was Rookie of the Year in 1977. He was a 3-time Gold Glove Award winner from 1982, 83, and 84. Then also a 3-time Silver Slugger Award winner in 83, 84, and 90. Eddie Murray was just the definition of just, he would come out there and hit, but he was excellent on the defensive side of the ball as well. He just was a great, great overall baseball player. And obviously, because I mean, he made the top 10, but just, he was just fantastic on all ends of the field, just great hitting and defensively. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Gary Carter. He played catcher with the Montreal Expos from 1974 to 1984, and then the New York Mets from 1985 to 1989. He had a career batting average of a .262 with 2,092 hits, 324 home runs, and 1,225 RBI. He won a championship in 1986, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner from 1980, 81, and 82, 5-time Silver Slugger Award winner, 81, 82, 84, 85, and 86, and just really one of the heartbeats of this New York Mets team in the 80s. I mean, this 80s team in the Met for the Mets, it was a huge, they just had so many fantastic players, but Gary Carter, it kind of felt like he was the heartbeat. He was the leader of this team. And he was just great. He was great. Like I said, he won Gold Gloves and Silver Sluggers. So that just means you are great at both ends of the ball. And you can always tell a great team has a great catcher. And Gary Carter was most certainly one of the greats. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Rickey Henderson, one of the most electric players in baseball history. I kid you not. This dude was so much fun to watch. Played left field for the Oakland A's from 1979 to 1984, and then came back to the A's in 1989 to 93, and then had a stint with the New York Yankees from 1985 to 1989. His career numbers, he batted with a batting average of .279, 3,055 hits, 297 home run, 1,115 RBI, 2,295 runs, and 1,406 stolen bases. And that was Ricky Henderson's thing. Ricky Henderson was the king of stealing bases. I mean, real talk, if you are ranking the greatest players stealing base, Ricky Henderson is probably number one. I mean, obviously, I would have to look through people, but just off the top of my head, Ricky Henderson, probably number one. This dude, you could not catch him. He was just lightning in a bottle. The dude was just boom, boom, boom. He was just a fantastic baseball player to watch. He was a two-time champion in 1989 and 1993, MVP in 1990, 12-time stolen base leader from 1980 to 1986, 1980 to 1991, and then also in 1998. He owns a couple of baseball records as well, one of them being 1,406 stolen bases. So like I said, this guy is the king of stealing bases, 2,295 runs, and 130 stolen bases in a single season. So we all know Ricky Henderson is the stolen base king, and was just a fantastic baseball player to watch. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Steve Carlton was a starting pitcher, and this was he was on the previous list, by the way, in the 1970s, so this is a dude who dominated in both the 70s and 80s, two decades. He played most prominently with the St. Louis Cardinals from 1965 to 1971, and then with the Philadelphia Phillies from 1972 to 1986. Career numbers, 329 wins, 244 losses, a 3.22 ERA, and 4,136 strikeouts. He's a two-time champion in 1967 and 1980, four-time Cy Young Award winner, 1972, 77, 80, and 82, and he won the Triple Crown in 1972. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Don Mattingly played first base with the New York Yankees in his entire career from 1982 to 1995. His career numbers, batting average of a .307 with 2,153 hits, 222 home runs, and 1,099 RBI. Don Mattingly was just the definition of a workhorse. This dude showed up to play every single game. He was the captain of this team. He was just the dude who everybody looked to on this team. He was so consistent. Every time he came up to bat, you pretty much knew the dude was getting on base. He won MVP in 1985. He is a nine-time Gold Glove Award winner from 1985 to 1989, then 1991 to 1994. Just the definition of five-tool player as well. And he actually has an MLB record of six grand slams in one season. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Dale Murphy. He played outfield with the Atlanta Braves from 1976 to 1990. Had a career numbers of a batting average of .265, 2,111 hits, 398 home run, 1,266 RBI. He is a two-time MVP in 1982 and 1983, five-time Gold Glove Award winner from 1982 to 1986, four-time Silver Slugger Award winner from 1982 to 1985, two-time home run leader, two-time RBI leader, just one, another epitome of consistency, five-tool player, just was great in the outfield, was fantastic. Every time he came up to bat, you just had to have your eyes on Dale Murphy just every single game. He was such a consistent player and just so much fun to watch back in the 80s. Now, I will say, these top three guys, it was difficult. Now, number three, I have a feeling I'm going to be putting him on the 1990s list. And I have a feeling, now, obviously, I haven't gone over the 90s list yet, but don't be shocked if this guy is number one in the 90s list. As a matter of fact, it was difficult to not put him at number one on this list. It's just most of his domination was in the 90s and the late 80s. But we're talking about Roger Clemens, one of the most accomplished starting pitchers ever. Was with the Boston Red Sox from 1984 to 1996, Toronto Blue Jays from 1997 to 1998, New York Yankees from 1999 to 2003, and the Houston Astros from 2004 to 2006. Career numbers, 354 wins, 184 losses, 3.12 ERA, and 4,672 strikeouts. He is a two-time champion in 1999 and 2000, MVP in 1986, seven-time Cy Young Award winner. Let me say that again for you. Seven-time Cy Young Award winner. He won in 1986, 87, 91, 97, 98, 2001, and 2004. Two-time Triple Crown Award winner, 97 and 98. Four-time win leader, seven-time ERA leader, five-time strikeout leader. And he also has an MLB record of throwing two separate games in which he had 20 strikeouts. Two games, 20 strikeouts. Roger Clemens was a beast. As a matter of fact, Roger Clemens, I'm going to say it straight up, one of my favorite baseball players, hands down. I loved the fuck out of his career. He just was so great. And it was difficult for me to not put him at number one. But like I said, most of his domination was really in the 90s. So don't be shocked if you see him at number one on the 90s list. Definitely going to make the 90s list. Don't know where, but don't be shocked if it's not number one. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, what do you know? It's a guy who made last week's list too in the 1970s. And he was number one last week. Could have been number one this week, but I decided, nah, there is one player who had to go above him. But this week at number two is Nolan Ryan. I already waxed poetic on how much I love Nolan Ryan as well, but his domination definitely was the 70s for sure. 80s, he was great as well, but not like number one. I just had to put number one at number one. But anyways, we're talking about number two, and that is Nolan Ryan, starting pitcher of the New York Mets from 1966 to 1971, with the California Angels from 72 to 79, Houston Astros from 80 to 88, and then the Texas Rangers from 89 to 93. Career record, 324 wins, 292 losses. 3.19 ERA, and 5,714 strikeouts. Yes, 5,714 strikeouts. Even just saying that out loud is just mind-boggling. Still to this day, he won a championship in 1969, 11-time strikeout leader. As I said, he owns a couple of MLB records, one of them being the career strikeouts of 5,714 strikeouts, and also seven no-hitters in his career. Number one, though, on my top 10 MLB GOATs of the 1980s, Wade Boggs. Could not put anybody else really at number one for the 80s, just because Wade Boggs is one of the most prolific baseball players, for damn sure. I mean, he was so good for so long and was so consistent. And really, you take a look at the resume, and it's just really difficult to not put him at number one. So I did have to put Wade Boggs at number one. He played third base with the Boston Red Sox from 1982 to 1992, and then he became a Trader and signed with the New York Yankees from 1993 to 1997, and then went to the Tampa Bay Rays from 1998 to 1999. His career numbers, batting average of .328. Yeah, that is an excellent career batting average. 3,010 hits, 118 home run, and 1,014 RBI. Now, as you could tell right there, Wade Boggs was all about getting on base, not the home runs and RBI. Some dudes, it's all about the home runs and RBI. But when you're batting a .328 and you got over 3,000 hits, that just goes to show you are always getting on base, and that is what you want. Yes, home runs are amazing. We all love watching home runs. They're so much fun. And of course, that's just automatic points. But getting on base is probably one of the most important things you can absolutely do for your team. So that's just what Wade Boggs did. He was a champion. He won a championship in 1996, two-time Gold Glove Award winner in 94 and 95, eight-time Silver Slugger Award winner from 1980, won in 83, 86 through 89, 91, 93, and 94, and then is also a five-time batting champion. So, yeah, Wade Boggs, I really struggled with that top three there. But Wade Boggs, I just felt like I couldn't put anybody else above Wade Boggs. He really was 80s baseball. When you're thinking about the 80s baseball, you have to definitely put him in the top 10. But to me, he was number one. Just looking at resume, just looking at overall dominance, just kind of reading about what was going on at the times, the number one player you pretty much read about was Wade Boggs. So the top 10 MLB goats of the 1980s, number 10, Fernando Valenzuela, number 9, Eddie Murray, number 8, Gary Carter, number 7, Ricky Henderson, number 6, Steve Carlton, number 5, Don Mattingly, number 4, Dale Murphy, number 3, Roger Clemens, number 2, Nolan Ryan, and number 1, Wade Boggs. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.